Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mean Green Nation podcast, episode 28. My name is Adam. I am your host for this evening's festivities. And we're going to have some fun, I guess. So, they are festivities. Yeah. And with me tonight is good friend, fellow MG and writer, Greg Godecker. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Adam. How are you doing?
You're more famous than me this week because you wrote the big 53-page season preview, and you know, got a lot of hits, and everybody was reading it and giving you slaps on the backs and, you know, high fives and things. How's it feel to be an internet celebrity, man?
Not quite a celebrity yet, but it feels good for our website. It feels good that we put out a really good product to rival other previews of UNT. I think it was probably the best preview out there. You know, Vito is, he's still going to do his preview later on, but, you know, he gets more access to the team than we do, so we couldn't do all the interviews. But I think for, you know, the resources that we had, I think we did a pretty damn good job.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, you know, I feel like I've been saying this, like, all week, but the whole reason I started Mean Green Nation way back when, say, like, 2009, I think, when I was still in school, was because I couldn't. Like, it was just Brett Vito. That was it. It was Brett Vito and whatever I could get from GoMeanGreen.com. And I felt like there needed to be another spot where people could go to. And I kind of did it, you know, like, on the side. And, you know, it's been fun. It's nice to see that UNT is getting the kind of blogger love that it was like being otherwise, you know, that it didn't have at the time. It was ignored, I guess. To be nice about it. It's being ignored. It's not being ignored now. I think I made mention that, like, what do you say?
We get ignored a little bit, but you know, the fans, they throw out there now when we get ignored.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was always that, I can't believe they still call us North Texas State kind of stuff. But, I mean, it was hard to say, why does nobody care about us when we were going 2-14 or whatever, you know what I mean? So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, now that they've won a bowl game, now that Dan McCarney is you know, bringing name recognition and a quality product to the field, it's hard to ignore the Mean Green, and I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it was a great setup last year because SMU was down, TCU was down, Texas was kind of UNT was really, you know, they showed out on the field, and a lot of the beat writers out there, they took notice then.
Yeah, and it's a great way to start the season because we're going to take on Texas, you know, the big dog in the state, and SMU, which is gets all the love from the local media there. I think the only thing that would be better is if we took on TCU. I wonder when the next time, if ever, we'll play TCU. I don't know.
That's a good question. That would be a fun game.
Yeah,
you know, I'd like to see that every year, TCU and SMU on our schedule.
I think I said that once upon a time. You know, I was like doing conference realignment blog posts way before it was, you know, fun to do them, and everybody and their mom started doing them. And that's what I was saying, like, here's the new Southwest Conference, you know. And I was like, we could have TCU and SMU, and, you know, it'd be great. And I think San Antonio, UTSA is going to have a team, and eventually they could, you know, level up to this level. You know. I think I'm happy with the way it is. I'm glad that we have a rival, a local in-state rival, and I'll go ahead and call them a rival again. Talk about this all the time. UTSA, down the road. And I also like that Rice is in there. I don't think Rice is ever going to be the kind of rival that UTSA is and will be just because they're a private school. They don't really have the same kind of thing there. It's the same reason that, like, it's hard to get a real rivalry with SMU just because, you know, it's a private school, and it, you know, they're all fancy people, got a lot of money, you know, daddy gets into school and things.
They're always going to look down on North Texas, even if we're always better than them.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I like that UTSA is a, you know, it's a public school, state school, same kind of thing. It's like the same thing, you know. The closer you are in type, then I think the more kind of rivalry you have. Yeah.
Absolutely, I agree. And then, you know, what happened last year just added to the fact.
Oh, yeah. I already said, if you didn't listen to last year's show, this is episode 28. Was it I guess it was like 25, I think, when we did our big post-mortem after that terrible, terrible UTSA loss. Justin Brummett, he was saying the same thing. He was saying, I think they're our rival now. Went into the game, I didn't really think there'd be a rival. But now they're our rival. And I hate UTSA. And I think a lot of people felt the same way. All right. So let's talk some preview. Speaking of this upcoming season, we're not gonna go through your entire preview because we don't have time for 53 pages of Greg Godecker breakdown. But give me some of the highlights. I know one thing that stood out is that you picked us to be third in the conference.
All right. Yeah, I picked us to be third in the conference, and basically, I did a lot of research. I looked at a lot of numbers, and what I kept coming back to was that we'd be somewhere between 5 and 7 wins, and that was based upon what we have coming back. And I thought, you know, the one thing that kept me towards the higher end, you know, picking us to have 7 wins is an offensive line. You know, when you have the career, over 100 career starts like we had, I think there were 7 teams last year that had offensive lines returning over 100 starts, and only 2 of those teams had, you know, losing records last year. So, you know, I just felt like Rice was in a better position with their quarterback, and I felt like UTSA was in a little bit better position what they have coming back. And then we also go on the road to those places. We got to go play at UTSA. We got to go play at Rice. And so that's kind of why I picked this third. Could I see us, you know, winning the conference? Absolutely. There's good talent there. But, you know, it's just one of those things where the guys that, you know, are stepping into the new roles, they haven't played a lot yet. So they got to get that game experience. And I think then once they do, then, you know, we'll see a better product on the field. So that's kind of why I picked this to finish third in the conference. Because I think it's a respectable position. And I don't think there's a lot separating the top 3 teams right now. So it could end up anyway.
Yeah, it's true. And that's the thing. The coaches picked us first. But, I mean, you don't want to put a whole lot of stock in that. And I wrote about this on the blog. Because, I mean, like, they picked Tulsa to top the conference last year. And they didn't really see Tulane coming. And I don't know. They picked us, third or fourth or something like that. They didn't really predict the conference well, and I don't think there's any coaches poll that really does a good job predicting anything. So that was more like respect, I think, like you mentioned before, respect for what we did last year. I agree. I think it's going to be hard to replicate the kind of success that we had last year. A lot of that was experienced guys knowing their job and especially on the defense, like reacting to the plays almost before they happened because they'd seen it so many times and they were talented enough to execute there. I think we're going to get caught out a couple times because of the inexperience. Some of these guys haven't played with each other, even though they have played. I know you talked about in the preview the positive side of having these guys that have been in the system is that they won't have so much of a learning curve. But the problem is that they haven't played with each other, and so they don't necessarily know how one guy's going to react, or, you know, this, that, and the other. Just the little things. So that kind of could kind of affect us. The good thing about having a rookie quarterback, but an experienced quarterback, especially when compared to Derek Thompson and his 3-year starting record, is that the offensive line is all played together. And so they should not make any like rookie mistakes where they blow a coverage and, you know, blow an assignment, I mean, and get the quarterback like knocked out. So he should be fine with that. And I think we're going to see a lot of quick passes, a lot of short stuff, a lot of getting the ball out of there. Like one or two read kind of things. You think that's pretty much the case there? Or do you think they're going to open up the playbook with maybe quote unquote, starter Andrew McNulty or the other guy, Josh?
I don't think that they're going to open up, you know, the playbook or run out some different offense that, you know, you're not going to see anything different than we've seen the past, you know, the past couple of years under McCartney. Will you see maybe some different formations? Maybe so, but the trend of how much we run versus how much we pass and where we throw our passes, I don't think any of that's going to change. and just maybe, you know, different, the way we line up maybe look a little bit different. But, you know, as far as the play calling goes, I don't think that's going to change, and I don't think it needs to change. I think that when I looked at our talent level on the team, the one thing that stood out to me was I have a really good belief that this year's team is more explosive. So we may see more yards per play out of this team. You know, like a Darvin Kidzie, a Carlos Harris, Darius Terrell, Gorey, Jimerson. You know, they're not like a Brandon Byrd was a very stable running back. He could get you 3 yards, you know, and
He did hit a couple big gainers though. He had like an 80-yarder or something like that against Tulsa.
Yeah, he did have his big gainers, but that's not what he was known for. You know, when you think of Antoine Jimerson versus Brandon Byrd, you think of Jimerson, every time he touches it, he has a chance to step through a couple tackles and go 50-plus yards. When I think of Brandon Byrd, I think of, you know, 4, 3, 3, 4, and then maybe he busts one for, you know, 25. Or maybe he busts one farther down the line, you know.
Yeah.
And then I think of our wide receivers as not being possession wide receivers, but guys that can take a short pass, like we were talking about, getting the ball quickly into their hands and turning that then into a bigger game. I don't think we really had that last year. You know,
outside of Breland Chancellor, right? Yeah.
Yeah, outside of Chancellor, you know, Carlos Harris was there, and he could do that. But now it's more. Now it's 4 or 5 guys that could do that. And then on top of Antoine Jimerson, you know, maybe Eric Evans gets touches, and maybe the young freshman, you know, Ivory comes in and he could do damage with his speed. And, you know, it's just that I think we've added an explosive element to our offense.
Yeah, that was one thing I noticed in that blowout against UTEP. We started going deeper into the running back rotation there, and a couple of guys that stepped in, like, looked really good, and they looked really good in spring practice. I heard good things about them. Like both spring practice 2013 and spring practice this year. So, I mean, I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see what we have there. And I think that that's going to kind of balance out some of the losses, like you're saying, of like Derek Thompson and, you know, Breland Chancellor, some of those things. If we can really get that, if that is true, the case is that we have guys that can, you know, score touchdowns on a 4-yard slant. And not necessarily just get a first down, although that would be great if they could just do that. You know, like that shortens the number of reps that the quote unquote inexperienced offense would need to take, and lightens the load on the defense. You know, if we can score touchdowns instead of getting first downs, we don't need 13, 14 play drives. We can score in, you know, 6 or 7 or 2 or 3. That makes everything easier, including on the defense, which is the biggest question mark, I suppose.
Right, and then the one thing you kind of have to throw in with scoring points, too, is we scored a lot of points off of turnovers. We had a lot of, you know, field position off of turnovers last year, and you can't really, that's not something you can predict or project. You know, it just kind of, you know, defense makes it happen, you know, whether it's a lucky bounce or, you know, being in the right place, you know, all those kind of things, you know, come into play when you're talking about turnovers, and we had tons of those last year. Tons of those block kicks and stuff like that. You can't really, when you're trying to project, you know, the next year, you can't look at those numbers and say, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's one of those things that, like, the offense looked better. I think, was it 2 years ago, the offense averaged, like, 20 points a game, and that was, like, the lowest it had been since pre-Dodge era. And I don't know how much better the offense was last year. I didn't, like, parse it out, but a lot of the scoring bump was because of the defense, like you said, either, like, returning kicks or blocking kicks and scoring touchdowns that way. I mean, hell, they scored against Georgia that way by blocking a kick and scoring. Like, that was a big part of the game. And the turnovers, like you said, that was a big part of our scoring was the defense. And so we might see a drop in scoring, but a better offense.
And that just, yeah, that, it sounds crazy, but, you know, I think what the one thing where the offense improved last year was converting and efficiency. They were able to convert, you know, on third downs and keep the chains moving because they had more plays. You know, there wasn't much was a much difference, you know, in explosiveness, but, you know, they kept the chains moving, and, you know, that helped out.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to, and I'm kind of prepping myself to see that we might see, a better offense, more explosive, more fun, but, you know, maybe the scoring average drops a little bit, and that's not like a knock on Mike Canales. But it might just be, you know, like the difference between one of the best defenses that we've ever seen here at North Texas and an okay one, I'm hoping. What do you think the defense finishes? What do you think see the biggest weaknesses?
On the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, yeah.
I think the biggest weakness is, if we're talking about units, probably the biggest weakness is the linebackers right now. I think the defensive line is going to be okay. I think their quickness and, you know, I think there's good coaching in there. I think that the linebackers, though, just going back and watching, you know, I use the spring game just to kind of watch individuals and watch their movements and what they do well. Not, you know, not judging the whole team. I just wanted to watch, you know, one player, and I'll watch them all game and go back and rewatch it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the linebackers making those quick reads and decisions, I think they're going to struggle with that early in the year. I think, you know, let's say UT comes out and they're able to run the ball, you know, decently against us, and then they go with the play action. I think our linebackers are going to get sucked into that. I think they're going to get beat. I think Jamal Marshall, I like him. I like his speed. He's got great raw ability for an outside linebacker. But I think down the seams, he may get, you know, beat a few times early in the season. But yeah. I think as we progress then I think he's going to make plays. And, you know, the one guy I like Sid Ellis, but we don't know what his status is going to be, whether he works himself back in or not.
Yeah.
So, you know, and John Scaldini is a great coach, and he's the linebackers coach. So, you know, they're going to be fine in time. I just think it's early in the season, they'll be the biggest weakness. I know that may shock a lot of people, but
I guess, I don't know if it's, like, optimistic or just, like, realistic, but I guess I'm just kind of expecting 2 years ago defense, where they looked good, but they were getting beat on some of that play action stuff that you're talking about. I remember, like, very clearly them playing Troy and their, you know, Sun Belt leading quarterback there really well, and they just dominated him the whole game, all the way up until Zach Wilfield got beat on a go route that set up the touchdown. Now, that it was like that combined with terrible offensive play and the field goal, the kicker not being able to make anything, and Dan McCartney just giving up on kicking ever.
Right.
That kind of combined into a loss, but it was that kind of thing that the defense was doing really good, really good, and then they give up a 50-yard play. And that stopped last year. Like, there were no more of that. Although, that happened in the beginning of the year a little bit. They were giving up some big plays, off some play action and things. And Arkansas State, and I mean, they had what's his name? Gus Malzahn on there. But they were killing us on a lot of that play action stuff, the play fake stuff, going one way, throwing back the other way, throwbacks and things, because we were like super aggressive, or we're like not making those right reads and things. I'm expecting some of that, you know, kind of following up on your point about the inexperience of our linebackers and the whole defense, really. That's what's going to kill us. And I don't know, it's kind of hard to get angry at that, because it takes some experience and playing time to pick up on those things.
Yeah, but the one thing that I would say to you, to, you know, kind of calm you down a little bit, but getting beat with big plays, is I think the secondary will be okay. I think they're going to be fine. If you're Laramie Lee, Myers, Jones, Whitfield, and whoever the other, you know, whoever becomes the free safety, I think we'll be okay, you know, with them. I don't think that they're going to get beat over the top. I don't think they're going to make a ton of mistakes. You know, they may. Basically, everybody's just going to stick to, you know, doing their job. If a linebacker misses his assignment, okay, you know, go make the tackle. But don't try and overcompensate and do too much. I think that's what was great about our defense last year. Everybody had their job. You know, they relied on one another and they did their job. I think they got to try and keep doing that this year, even though it's going to be harder for some of those guys that played on the defense last year.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have Zach Orr out there, you know, manning the defense, or Marcus Trice playing center field. One thing that wasn't part of the team 2 years ago was tackling on the edges. And that really, I think that contributed to their overcompensation. Like, the guys felt like they really had to flow to the ball if it was going left or right, because the tackling on the edges was really poor. I just say not poor, but, like, not as good as it was last year. Kenny Byers did a hell of a job tackling any and everything that came his way. And the one time that he wasn't able to do that, and really the whole team wasn't able to tackle well, was against UTSA. And you remember, like, they had like 13 first downs or something ridiculous like that. And right. they just kept keeping drives alive. And they had like one or two big plays. And one of them was like a run by Evan Zakacha, and the other one was a seam pass to
Sam Jones.
Oh, yeah, and that he had him in the backfield. That's the thing, is that there was a lot of missed tackles in that game that could have really changed the outcome of it. And, you know, full credit to UTSA for being hard to tackle. But you can see the evidence, the difference between a team that tackles well and one that doesn't. And it's almost everything. You know, where the defense was our strength, it was kind of our weakness there. And I feel like we're going to see some kind of hybrid of that. If we can tackle as well as we did last year, like, meaning like on the edges, Kenny Byers, James Jones did a hell of a job tackling out there. Zach Whitfield was really good tackling as well. If we can get that kind of tackling with Laramie Lee laying the big hits down the middle, then I think we'll be okay. And even if we allow a big play, quote unquote, I don't think that's going to go for a touchdown, but I think it's maybe going to set up a field goal. And I can live with a field goal or, right, you know, an extra first down here and there.
I think, you know, one of the huge keys in my mind when I grade our defense is if we can win first and second down and get people into passing situations on third down, not where it's third and four, but, you know, third and five, third and six, third and seven. Yeah. If we get them in those situations, I really like Jerrion Roberts. I really like Chad Polk. I really like our defensive tackles as pass rushers. I think this team could get after people rushing the passer. You go back, you watch the first, you know, three plays of the spring game, and you just watch the, you know, the Cyril Lemon and Jerrion Roberts, you know, matchup. Just watch that. And watch his explosion off the ball, and Lemon is just, he's shocked by it, and he gets beat. And that's, you know, that's an All-American type of player getting beat by a no-name guy. You know, yeah. He had two sacks last year against Idaho and then kind of dropped off. But if we could get some of that on third downs, and we know what Polk can do as a pass rusher.
Yeah. Yeah, like if, I think off the top of my head, you can go see some of the cut-ups that we did for, like, the Rice game, I think it was, when I was talking about Kenny Byers mostly. But you can see the line getting the penetration and kind of forcing, was it Charles Ross on the outside to Kenny Byers? I mean, it's a team game. Yeah. And I think if we can force those kinds of things, the last tackle, you know, the tackle is the one that you want to make. And they forced him to the edge, and Kenny Byers made a hell of a tackle. And so Kenny Byers gets the praise, but it was the line work that forced him outside and got him out there, made him easy to tackle, you know. So, yeah I totally agree. I think, you know, outside of one or two, we're not going to see the dominant defense that we saw last year, and that's fine. You know, that was a once in a, I don't want to say once in a generation, but maybe once in a decade type performance by that crew. I can live with that. If we have a good defense, you know, that means that people are making plays and maybe not making that extra play, that tip interception by Marcus Trice to Zach Orr type thing, that's fine. You know, if that they turn that into an incompletion, that's fine. We don't need an interception there. Yeah.
I agree. I think it's going to take some time, but by the end of the year, you know, I think people will really be looking forward to next year's defense. I think that one could be a really special defense.
Yeah. Maybe we'll be looking at them like maybe they have a chance to be the 2013 version. Are you excited about going to the Heart of Dallas Bowl again?
I mean, if this team gets to a bowl game, wherever it is, I'd be excited.
Well, I think we all will. But I'm just saying, like, I'm mostly complaining about the Heart of Dallas Bowl being on the day after Christmas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if they got into it, I'd be excited. It'd be great for the university. It'd be great again for the program. I'd be excited. I don't see how you cannot be excited about it. I mean, yeah, the date sucks a little bit, but you know, it's a bowl game. It means a winning season.
Yeah, I'm going to go there. I'm going to be excited about a bowl game. I'm just saying. I'm just kind of complaining about that. Like, they took what was kind of a special bowl. You know, it was cool that it was on a New Year's Day and at the Cotton Bowl. And, you know, it almost felt like it was a Cotton Bowl. And you could, if you squinted, you know, you could kind of pretend. And they kind of stripped all that away and turned it into, like, you know, some other bowl. You know, insert bowl here. And that's the only thing I don't like about it. I was kind of looking forward to making the Heart of Dallas Bowl our bowl, you know. But that's fine. Whatever.
Don't get greedy with your bowl selection this year.
I know, right?
What we lost last year in the season, if you have a winning season and you get to a bowl game, it doesn't matter where it is.
Yes, I know. I agree. You're very right. I'm just being...
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
First world problems over here.
Yeah, from a fan's perspective, you know, yeah, it kind of sucks. You know, you kind of, you know, lowered the bowl status. But, I mean, hey, it's a bowl game. Be happy.
Yeah. Did Western Kentucky not make the bowl last year? I know it was like one of the 8-4 Sun Belt teams didn't make it. I'm sure they would have taken a midweek bowl game and wouldn't complained about it.
Yeah, I don't think they made a bowl game. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I forget which one it was. I mean, and that's kind of sad. I guess it may be indicative of how low the Sun Belt is on, like, the reputation scale. We don't even remember who it was that went 8-4. It was one of them teams, and one of them didn't make it. I'll have to look it up. But I mean, I agree. I just wanted to complain a little bit, that's all.
Well, I mean, it's an honest complaint. I mean, I don't find too much of a problem with it. But, I mean, a bowl game is a bowl game. And that's what, you know, I felt in my bowl predictions was, if we're 7-5 and we go to a bowl game, to me, that's a success. Because you got to build upon what you did last year. And it's going to be hard to go 8-4. It's going to be hard to go, you know, to win 8-5, to win 9 games. So if we can win, if we can just get to a bowl game, I'll be happy. I'll view that as a success. Because I think the struggles are going to come early, and then we, you know, we get on a winning streak later in the year, and then that's how we get to a bowl game.
Yeah. I thought last year it was going to be the opposite. I was like, there's going to be a string of easy games here. And maybe towards the end of the year, because I thought La Tech was going to be pretty good. And I thought Tulsa was going to be pretty good. I thought maybe that's when we'd kind of falter a little bit. But it was, you know, there were a lot of winnable games all year. And even the ones they lost, UTSA, Tulane, those were winnable games. Even that Ohio game, that was a very winnable game. They were more frustrating than anything. This year, I mean, I think you can say that the Texas game is going to be a loss. SMU, they're good, and I think maybe June Jones' offense combined with, you know, relative inexperience on the defense can equal a loss there, but I think SMU is infinitely beatable, you know? And, I mean, you know, UTSA is obviously going to be a tough one, and then Rice at Rice is going to be tough.
The Louisiana Tech game, to me, that's the most crucial game of the season. That just, to me, they're good. You know, they've got a lot of talent on their team. And because if we're staring at 0-2 somehow, we lose to Texas, something goes wrong, we lose to SMU. Then you got this Thursday night quick turnaround game that's the biggest game of the season, and you could be staring at 0-3. It's you know, it's not hard to see that, you know.
No, and it wouldn't really kill a lot of momentum, because like you said, like Texas at Texas, it's a tough one. Obviously, everybody expects it to be a loss. SMU at home, it's going to be a tough one too, you know. There's going to be a lot of young guys playing their first time as starters in front of what I presume to be a big crowd. It's going to be different. I could see that would be a loss. And so it's hard to say that is a bad start to the season, but it definitely isn't a good one. So yeah, I totally agree with you that La Tech game is going to be huge.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if we win the Texas game somehow. if we beat SMU, Louisiana Tech is still huge. It is still the first conference game, and it's one of the contenders in the West that's so tightly grouped that you got to have. You know, it's like that Tulane game that we lost last year that came back to bite us. This is the Tulane game right here. We've got to have it.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. I don't think your 7-5 prediction is unreasonable. I haven't written down and submitted my prediction yet because I still kind of want to look at some things. I kind of want to see how fall camp shakes out a little bit all across the board, all of Conference USA. But it will be interesting. I don't know if Rice is going to be as good as they were last year. And, I know UTSA is getting all the plaudits for having everybody and their mom return. But I feel like I've said so many times that I've seen so many teams that bring back everyone and everybody not do as well as predicted. I feel like just because you have experience, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to do well. I think you kind of need some young and hungry guys out there. And I don't know if they have that. I feel like I think you can make the argument that they feel like, yeah, we accomplished something last year. Yeah, we didn't get to a bowl game, but hey, we were right there and almost won a conference title. But I don't know. That might be just me being a bleeding green over here. I don't know.
I think a lot of people's problem with UTSA and, you know, jumping on board with them is the quarterback position. You know, we're not, if they had 20 starters coming back and one of those was their quarterback, you know, from last year, Sosa, I think, yeah, boom, you know, they're clearly the best team in the conference and I'd pick them to win in a heartbeat. But because he's been the only quarterback they've ever had start games there and now,
well, there was another guy there, but he transferred. But, yeah, I see your point.
Okay, well, the only legitimate, you know, this guy was like their hero, you know, their Enrique Iglesias of UTSA. You know, he's gone. Yeah. If he was there this year, you'd probably feel a little bit better about picking UTSA.
You know, the crazy thing is that he really is legitimately gone. I think he got a graduate assistant offer, but he took the one at Houston. So there you go. He could have stayed and been a graduate assistant.
I know they lost some of their coaches, like their wide receiver coach left.
He's really not even there. I think maybe you could say, well, you know, if he was there on the sideline, maybe you can kind of coach him up a little bit. Tucker Carter's good. You know, there were a lot of UTSA fans calling for him to start over Sosa at some point. I mean, you know, it's like any quarterback. When Eric Sosa or the starter didn't play as well as you want, meaning like he didn't throw 7 touchdowns and no interceptions and run for a couple hundred yards too, then everybody was calling for the backup, right? Eric Sosa was good. He was a really great decision maker. He was maybe an iffy passer sometimes, and there was maybe a reason that he was recruited by Texas State and UTSA and not, you know, University of Texas or even, you didn't say UNT. But yeah, he was a hell of a leader, and he was like 90% of the reason why they beat us at home. He made all the right decisions, running the ball, passing the ball, you know, like tucking and running, you know, dishing the ball off. He did a hell of a job. And yeah, I think maybe if we had him over Derek Thompson in certain cases, maybe we would have had a better record in one or two games. I don't discount that argument out of hand. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think all the way down, Rice, UTSA, UNT, and even a little bit of Louisiana Tech, there's a quarterback issue. You know, there's uncertainty there. And so that's why the West, it could go anyway. I mean, you know, UTEP might have the best quarterback in the West, and they have a pretty good running game. So, I don't know, crazy things have happened. You know, maybe they jump up there.
I don't know, man. Seeing UTEP play last year, it's hard to see them do anything of note this year. But
yeah, hey, well, I mean, people could, you know, would have said that last year about us. Hey, did you see UNT play the year before? They didn't look good in the Sun Belt. How are they going to do against Conference USA?
Yeah, and I think people did say that. Well, yeah, and I think the real case is Tulane, and some of that was luck. We got really lucky, but I mean, I'd rather be lucky than good, you know.
All right, yeah. I mean, you know, we had success last year, and it was great. It was great as a fan to see. It was great, you know, to be able to put out, you know, to do a breakdown every single week and have people generally interested in, you know, what does our opponent do? You know, how are we going to stop them? How are we going to, you know, beat them? So,
yeah.
And I think that's going to be the case this year. You know, we're going to take some lumps, but it's going to be a fun season. I think there's just going to be that, man, you know, we were right there. We could have done, you know, this. We could have done that. You know, we made so many explosive plays happen, you know. I think there's going to be that kind of talk about this season.
Yeah, I agree. And we'll be here to kind of chronicle that as best we can. Let's talk to Chris. Chris Walker is going to tell us about, the crowdfunding. The new seats for the young alumni behind the visitor section. That basically helped win us some games last year, I think. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Hey, Chris. Christopher Walker.
Hey, guys.
Fuss budget on the Twitters. Is that it?
Yeah.
I think that's how I know you. That was your handle on GoMeanGreen.com, right? For a while?
It's never been on GoMeanGreen. It is on a couple other, like the Kusta boards. It is on Rowdy Talk. But on our home turf, I guess, as it were, I like to use my own name for nothing else than kind of keep me in check to not say anything stupid. I'll still say something stupid. It's just, you know, maybe a little more tempered.
Yeah. It was a, there was like a big thing there for a while. Like everybody on Go Mean Green was like, well, it came from like an op-ed, I guess. They were like, well, you know, you got to put your name to whatever you're going to say, you know? And so everybody's like, well, I'm, you know, here's my real name, you know, whatever. That was their signature for a while.
Right. And
I remember there's like a big thing about it.
That's kind of it. You know, it just lets people more easily call me out. And I like seeing people in real life. So they're like, oh, hey, your actual name in online and then both in person. It's like, yes, that's actually true. The fuss budget thing, though, that's for my parents when I was a kid. And when everybody was getting online like 10 years ago, no one used it. So I used it for everything.
See, I've never had a problem with people recognizing me, even though I've had whatever name it may be, which is like Aztec Skin for the longest on like Twitter or whatever. I would just like a throwaway name it was like my AIM name in high school. Anyway, I just that's how I know you. I know you as dual people. I still think of you as Fuss Budget, and then I think of you as Christopher Walker. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the subject at hand, the whole reason I brought you on here. So you're part of this whole crowdfunding thing to get young alumni behind the visitors' bench there. And so would you want to explain that a little bit? Same way you explained it to Brett Vito, I suppose?
Sure. Well, Tony Field, who goes by Old Guy Student on the board, as it were. He and I are really good friends. He's much older than me. He's a little bit more Big Wig alum. He's got his club seats and stuff like that. But we hang out. We tailgate. We go to Oak Street when he's in town and stuff like that. And when the announcement came for the redoing of the rule, and rather more of UNT's new compliance with the rule, since we didn't really do it last year, and subsequently, RV's lobbying to get the rule changed and stuff like that. And actually, it's not as bad as it could have been. Anyway, when all that came out, he was like, you know, we should just try to get as many tickets as we can, because they're not, at least to us, they're not necessarily getting the word out in the most effective way, proliferated.
Which is pretty typical
of
UNT. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty, yeah.
I, yeah.
I mean, even like even like the alumni group. I mean, it's like super delayed. There's like, oh, by the way, today there's going to be a watching party. I'm like, oh, well, thanks for letting me know.
Right.
You know?
Right. And as an employee of the Alumni Association, I can personally attest to those sort of things are being reevaluated and completely focused on. At least end of this year.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying
they're aware and they're trying to correct the issues at hand. Like new software, but whatever.
So you felt like it was not being communicated.
No, it wasn't necessarily the typical how tickets go with how anything in the ticket office goes. It just didn't seem like it was all happening and all there. So we looked at the way the rules were written. We're like, Tony got a hold of, Eddie, the new ticket rep that's just on the board all the time. Got a hold of Eddie. He's like, well, can we, how many tickets can I buy? And they're like, well, there's not really a limit. And I'm like, okay, then we'll see how many tickets we can buy. We researched what crowdfunding sort of sources we wanted to go with. Website wise, we picked CrowdTilt because we like that it has the Kickstarter element that it's not going to tilt unless it really reaches it. Because we really think that $10,000 for 100 tickets should be the most minimum for an effective use of any of this. It's like if 20 that it's up to right now, if it was just the 20 seats, that'd be great. But at the same time, for this to be effective, it needs to be a lot. Or a good chunk of it. And the 100, which is a little less than half, we thought was a good goal. So there's that, and we didn't go with Indiegogo. You know. So we went with CrowdTilt. And we've been doing it for 20-something days now. We have a goal of 10,000 to get 100 tickets. Extended goal for the 24,000 for all the tickets, but that's not even really reasonable because I know that 60 to 70 of those tickets have been sold. So there's that.
Which is a good thing. I mean, we want them sold, but you're kind of aiming for
and,
like...
You know, I... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say you're aiming for like a certain kind of fan. Somebody that's going to be like approximate the student section as it was last year when you got like UTSA and Rice and a couple of other guys. Let's say distracted from the thing at hand.
Right. And even like I should mention this even now, like even if it doesn't tilt, even if nothing actually comes from our endeavors, something actually already has in that I personally know that at least 10 tickets have been bought by people who just saw what we were talking about and us spreading the oh, you can get this for $100 on your own. Like I know personally of 10 tickets that have been sold in that section.
Because you guys are talking from about
it. Yeah, because we were talking about it. But, cool. like you were just saying, we want people who, like as I put it, just non-golf clappers. That's bare minimum.
Yeah. I mean, golf clapping is for the alumni side, where you got a
bunch of... You know, we got rid of a golf course in that area long ago. We don't need any remnants.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is that, I attended UNT at the time when the student section was, the student section is always kind of rowdy because you have, 17 to 22-year-olds, and they're always a little bit more boisterous than your average 45-year-old, But it wasn't, yeah. I mean, they sucked. They were terrible, so there was nothing really to get excited about past, halftime. So it was a different time. Mm-hmm. It's really awesome to see a lot of guys that grew up in the Dan McCarney era graduate because they're filled with a lot more enthusiasm than I see a lot of my fellow class of mates.
And good. It's those sort of people that we're directly going after, and so here's the thing, we're honoring the spirit of the rule in that it's being purchased by young alumni. Tony, even though he's a lot older than me, we're both young alums in the technical consideration of it. And we're primarily, if it worked, we are primarily getting them in the hands of like individuals, young alums who we know are spirited and can exhibit it, can prove it, and stuff like that. Like we've behind the scenes talked about a couple of different ways of almost seat tryouts, as it were, to really, if you want that seat, you got to prove it. Then at the same time, towards closer into the edge where the student section is all around them, find maybe, like I've got a lot of contacts working with the Alumni Association and working with student activities and the Student Alumni Association and such like that, where we're thinking maybe find some upperclassmen, find people that were already going to be there, but give them a little bit better chance at things, but then also kind of have it as a gentleman's contract, as it were, to say, here, have this year's ticket on us, but let's get your information, and if you don't mind, we're going to harass you next year so that you take it on your own.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing. There's going to be a drop. I think if you hand out like 10 things and say, hey, we're going to come back the next one, you got to pay for it. The return on that is usually like, you know, generously like 30%. But even if you got 30% of that, that's great. Right. That's fine. And then, you know, year over year, 30% of 100 people that could have been, you know, you get a nice little crowd. You build a nice little thing going if the team is still good.
Right. So, but like you said, it needs to be people that are loud. They're not going to sit, even though they have chair backs. I mean, it looks nice. It's going to distinguish that section. But, you know, don't be sitting. Yeah. Let's have the rest.
Don't stare at your phone the whole time.
Yeah, seriously. Don't, since those sections are going to be prime viewing angles from every TV camera, since they're all going to be facing from the home stands into that side, you're going to be the most chances are going to be for you to be on TV. So let's make sure you're represented well in that aspect.
Yeah. So where can we contribute to this crowd
thing? You can either search Crowd Tilt for keywords of Apogee alumni section, young alumni section, as it were. But the URL, as it were, is crowdtilt.com/campaigns/ put loud fans in the young alumni section with dashes in the middle of all those words. So put /loud-fans-in-the-young-alumni-section.
There you go.
That's the end.
I think, yeah, like, URL. you'll be able to find it. I've linked to it already. Like, if you're listening to it, like, I'll put the link.
We've been linking to it all the time now. I changed my SIG this morning so that I made a little, I don't know, a little banner ad, as it were, and have that now linked and whatnot. But yes, and I would, I've been thinking about how to word this. There are, there's an inclination that we might get to our goal in one way or another. Even if at this point Monday, it doesn't necessarily look like it, there is a possibility. And I can't really elaborate, but there's a possibility, and it looks
nice
the best.
Nice and cryptic there. All right.
I know.
One way or another, we will reach our goal. Okay, I like that. I mean, that's good.
Best, though, when it's actively being contributed towards by many.
Yeah. I mean, that's good. That's fine. Whoever contributes to it, whoever buys the tickets, that's fine. I don't care. I think it's a good thing that you guys are doing. You know, I haven't got around to contributing any cashola. I need to jump in on that. But, you know, I look forward to seeing it at 11 a.m. on, was it September? Whenever we play SMU, that's going to be fun to see.
Oh, yes.
September 6th.
There you go, September 6th.
September 6th, 11 a.m. in the morning. How early are y'all? I mean, y'all are both going to, I mean, Greg, you're, of course, nearby, but yeah.
Yeah, I will be there. I'm probably going to get there. Usually I do. I'll travel up Friday, and then I'll try to wake up early. I think I'm going to do, like, a post-tailgate thing.
Yeah? You don't want to...
I mean, no, I'm not going to be out there at 4 in the morning. I'm not. Yeah, no, I'm not. I got to work during the week.
I can tell you last word I heard, we're going to shoot to make a mimosa bar in the alumni pavilion.
See, I mean, I feel too fancy to be drinking if I'm drinking mimosas in the morning for a tailgate. So you gotta stick with like beer, you know, maybe some liquor. Cause,
oh yeah,
I mean, don't know.
We'll still have all the regular. And there's some cool possibilities happening there too.
Awesome. Yeah.
Ninja face about that.
Now, if you haven't been on there and if like you're listening to this and you haven't been out to the Alumni Pavilion, you should look for Chris. He kind of stands out with his magnificent beard there. I had a beard going for a little bit. I might bring it back out for the games during the fall. But yeah, I cut it off right now. So yeah, look out for Chris. He has a giant beard.
I do
that. Yeah. What was the reasoning for growing that thing? Just because it's Denton and that's what you do? Somebody, everybody in Denton has to take their turn growing a beard.
That certainly helped. it's good to have like an encouraging community that, you know, is not going to shun it. No, I had the really bad phases right when I got here of really long hair and hats all the time and really just scraggliness, and I just needed a change. So ditch the hats, cut the hair, let the beard grow out. And it's actually, I don't think it's as long as it once was. I had a couple of, I've had two significant trims, one before a really big job interview and the other for my wedding. But it's about back to where it was.
Right. Are you going to paint it green for the UT game?
Ooh. You know? I don't know. I've never done anything like that.
See if you can do the diving eagle on there. If you can do the diving eagle kind of right there, that'd be pretty awesome.
By the way, my friend Jason joined, and you might have seen him around the board today. He found a new artist rendering of, I don't know, Neo Son of Worm, which looks really kind of badass. I'll totally find like a painting friend.
There's a lot of art students there that you can grab and say, hey, I need a diving eagle on my beard. Can you do it? Yeah, you should be able to find somebody. All right.
I don't know if y'all know. I don't know if y'all are like Oak Street Draft House or East Side Social Club fans.
I am both.
But good. John Williams, who owns that, has a new bar in Denton called Silo on 7th, and that's going to be our main kind of Mean Green headquarters, as it were. Alumni Association Advancement, and then just pretty much it's going to be, toward those weeks leading up to it, it's going to be kind of advertised as everybody. But John, of course, is a UNT alum. He's always at the games. He's a super proud fan, and he's gonna make his bar, his new bar in Austin, our destination, like our completely friendly confines. The good beer and whatnot that you'd expect, the good cocktails that you'd expect, and he's got burgers and other kind of food and fare as well. So a little bit different than what we know.
Yeah, it's also like little plug. We're gonna go up like the San Antonio alumni group. We're gonna go up there, and I think we're gonna do a tailgate. But I think we're definitely gonna swing by the thing. Give me a link to that too, and I'm gonna put that up all along this post in the show notes, as it were, for MPN20. Sure. Yeah, so there you go. You'll find all the links to all the stuff we talked about there, and et cetera, et cetera. Where can we find you again? Fuss Budget on the Twitters, and then your Chris.
You know, actually,
Walker,
I think it's Fuss Budgets. I think there, like, someone had Fuss two of them. Has had the singular, so mine's the plural.
I am more than just one Fuss Budget. All right, cool.
I am more than, yes, I am all the Fuss Budgets. So plural on Twitter, my own name on goaminggreen.com, and my own name, I guess, on Facebook and elsewhere.
Do you still do Facebook? I can't do Facebook.
I still do Facebook. I do a lot of Facebook for
like work stuff.
Group organize. Work stuff. Group organizing, and
despite its powers as a group organizing tool, I had to know. I said, cut it off.
I've seen like a lot of people in the last couple of weeks that are like, I'm done. I'm just gonna be here minimally.
Yeah, the woman, the wife, she went cold turkey like 2-3 years ago. I just did it like last year, you know, because I was like, I gotta organize people. I gotta do it for the Mean Green Nation Facebook page, but. Yeah, I was like, you know what? No, I'm done. And I haven't missed it. It's been great. All right. So thanks again to Chris.
I mean, that's another thing. There's a few pages that I manage and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you think that is necessary, but it's not. All right, Chris, we're going to let you go. Thanks for joining the podcast. Appreciate it. All right. Thanks to Chris again for joining us to talk about the crowd tilt thing. Thanks again to Greg for joining me, as always, on the Mean Green Nation podcast. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, search Mean Green Nation Podcast. An easier way to do it is go to the website, meangreennation.com, click on the right menu, go down to MGN Podcast, and you can find all the relevant info on how to subscribe, how to contact, et cetera, et cetera. All right, guys, we're done. And remember, go Mean Green.